Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, to acknowledge the Lord, and let the Lord be the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This audio is entitled, What Trump Does Not Know. I do not get into the political events going on, the application of the process. I just leave that up. Anyone else who happens to be in the workplace or government or education or town hall meeting, wherever, this process is applied. And it's applied everywhere. It literally is the paradigm of the day called a heresiarchical paradigm. That's of change. You've heard the word change. Marx on his tombstone has the word change. The first part of his quote is, and that's Feuerbach thesis number 11, the philosophers have all interpreted the world in many different ways. What he's saying there is, if I had a class of 20 students from 20 different homes, they wouldn't get along with one another if they were loyal to their parents' standards, because their parents' standards differ between the parents. And so the same applies to nations, to any organization or group that has one person up front, because it has to be one. If you have many, there's compromise. But if there's one, then you have that father's structure. The father authors, he authors commands and rules and facts and truth, and then he enforces them. And so you have individualism in the home. You might have five or six kids, but each one personally held accountable. So he has one authority he turns to, and that's the Father. In fact, God has resolved the conflict between your Father and our Heavenly Father by saying you were not to have any other Father except one Father, which is in heaven. That removes any confusion, because if you have two fathers, you can play the game. You can go between one and the other. And so this whole process of the dialectic process is to get rid of the father, because what Marx and the socialists realized is that you can have a child raised in a traditional home. When he goes out into the community, he carries that father structure with him, and it's called the guilty conscience. And so his demeanor around others who are doing what's counter to his father's standards, he won't participate in. In fact, he'll tell them they're wrong. And that word wrong is from a father's structure of thought. What you're doing is wrong. In other words, you can eat all these trees. That's right. If you eat that tree, you're wrong. And so that, in fact, the language of Adam and the woman in the garden was, they never said they were wrong. See, Adam threw the woman under the bus. Well, it's all her fault. She gave me the apple, and then, or the fruit, excuse me, we don't know what's an apple. Sorry. In fact, that sort of points you to the issue. There's a website or a program out there with an apple with a bite on it. You know, well, that's the garden. that's the master facilitator of change, making sure everybody bites into it, participates. But so the issue then was, Adam then threw God under the bus. You know, you created an unhealthy environment for me to live in. Because what they did was stimulus response. The tree stimulated the desire to touch it. See, and so that led then to the justifying of eating it. You know, it's good for food, pleasing the eyes, desires to make one wise. That's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, which Jesus countered in the temptations. It is written, man doesn't live by bread alone, you know, whatever you want out there, you know, you can have. No, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. So it is written. In other words, dad says. And that's a discussion, because in a discussion, dad or the Constitution or something outside of you determines the outcome. It's not from you. It's external. It's referred to as spirit. It's external. Everything spirit is external. Yes, we have a spirit in us, but that spirit that directs us, gives us direction. You know, we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And so we recognize that we're accountable to someone other than man, someone other than the stimulus response. We are told what's right and what's wrong. That's what God did when he created Adam. He told him what was right and what was wrong. Only man can read or write a book. And so that whole concept that comes from the Word of God, that structure of thought called a patriarchal paradigm. But what happened with the master facilitator of change and the woman was he got her into dialogue, into I feel like touching it, I think, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And she was scientifically correct. The tree did not kill her nor Adam. God removed them from having access to the tree of life. See, the issue wasn't the tree per se, it was obedience. Now, the child can go out and do what the dad told him not to do and not get in trouble. He's in trouble because he disobeyed. He rejected a higher authority over his life. He decided to do what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it, how he wanted to do it, in defiance to what he's been told to do. And that's what dialogue will do. Because if you take this dialogue, I feel and I think language, into behavior, dialogue does not recognize the father's authority. It cannot recognize the father's authority. We have dialogue and discussion within us. If you go to a smorgasbord and you have all this food there to choose from, you can dialogue all you want. You know, I like this, I don't like that, this, you know, but when it comes to discussion, that's what the doctors told you. You should eat, you should not eat. So if you want to eat what the doctor said you shouldn't be eating, you'll go to dialogue. Well, I feel, I think, I like, I don't like. If you want to be healthy, you'll go to discussion. Well, I can't have that because the doctor, see, because the law, because the Constitution, because God. There's a higher authority in the discussion that has the final say. And so we have both of those. Now, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's dialogue. See, the heart in its natural self will always approach pleasure. And it will avoid pain. And that pain includes the missing out on pleasure. So the heart is deceitful. It thinks pleasure is the standard of life instead of doing the Father's will. Our natural heart does not come with a patriarchal structure. It comes with a heresiarchal structure. I want, I want, I want. Look at the baby. Just want, 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 want. Just, and now we have adults, you know, babies in adult bodies. I want, want, want. Everywhere you turn. Sort of like pigs grunting all over the place, murmuring. Oh, I didn't get what I wanted. And so our whole culture has gone to that very heart of man, the carnal nature of man. And therefore, if pleasure is a standard of life, then anyone who comes in the way of that pleasure, who's going to take it away, the heart is desperately wicked. It's not just wicked, you know, cunning, trying to get what it wants. But if it sees the Father coming, it'll raise its fist. Oh, he's going to, you know, it's the conversation you have with your dad. You want to go out and play with your friends. Your dad says you can't go out. And so we go, why? Now, it's not a why based on facts and truth, because dad would say, well, birds fly. Why? Well, because they have wings. Why? Because God created them. Why? You know, that's good. Okay, you're learning. But when it comes to commands and rules, it's different. The why is to get dad into dialogue, because in dialogue, we're equal. In discussion, he has a final say. And so you try to get him in a dialogue with why, and he doesn't go there. He goes to discussion. You know, and eventually, if you, because there's a difference in this language, the communication. If the woman and Adam had stayed in discussion, this is what David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. See, the discussion have I hid in my dialogue, that I might not sin against thee. So whenever you're tempted to do something, you go to dad. See, and so that then rescues you from yourself. You set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Because if you go to dialogue, when it comes to behavior, you will always end up doing what you want to do, at least thinking about it. And so that's an understanding. Now, what the Marxists understood was, if the father says, well, you can't go out, and the child goes, why? And the dad says, because I said so. If the child recognizes the father's authority, he still adheres to it. If he goes out, he has a guilty conscience. Because the guilty conscience is the father in the child. He hasn't rejected the father's authority. And so we all, by nature, have that. We still have this, you're out doing something wrong, and then, oh, bad. God or the dad, he's not going to be happy with me. Boy, if he finds out, I'm in trouble. And so that's the guilty conscience. the dialectic process is moving, because let me back up, that discussion, dialogue, conflict we have within us, the guilty conscience needs the discussion part. And so you start to discuss with yourself what you're doing. And, oh, Dad would not like this, you see, because there's a higher authority. What psychology and sociology and all these ologies, when it deals with behavior, all move us to dialogue. Because if we move all the way over to dialogue, how do we feel and what do we think? There's no father's authority. And so that's the key to understanding the dialectic process. It's through the dialogue. When laws are made through dialogue, tyranny rules. There's no stability. There's no established command, rule, or fact or truth that's going to guide and direct us in the outcome. Everything's subject to the moment. Everything's subject to the seduction and deception and manipulation, whoever is in control of the meeting. Because it's stimulus response. It's everything in the creation except man, because God created us to, we can be told and we can tell others. We can read books, we can write books. Nothing else in the creation can do that. And that comes from God. But the world doesn't recognize that. See, the world wants to use what God gave us to justify its flesh. Ye are they who justify yourself before men. And God calls that an abomination, because that's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. See, it's good for food, pleasing the eyes, desires to make one wise. Jesus came to counter that, to stop that. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Man doesn't live by bread alone. Worship God, that's with your eyes. And don't tempt God. That's your psychomotor. In other words, don't just say, I can do whatever I want and God will protect me. No, he loves you and me, but he's not changing his word for any of us. Just like the law of gravity, all the laws of nature are the same way. You know, if you happen to do false off something and you're going to get hurt, gravity doesn't say, well, I like you, I think I'll spare you today. No. Now, God might intervene, but gravity, the law, is not going to. And so that's the basic understanding of the dialectic process. If I get your child in my classroom and I remove the fear of you, in other words, the father's authority, because father authors and he enforces. If we remove the enforcement, let's be positive, not negative, which allows dialogue, because you can't have dialogue with somebody in the room going, you're wrong. See, that's the father, right, wrong. Right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, above, below. It's a duality. It's not gray. It's not confusing. You just do what Dad said. Jesus said, what my father commands, that's what I do. He who does my father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. That's a patriarchal paradigm. And that's a traditional family structure. That's a middle-class structure where the parents say, if you don't do what you're assigned to do, if you don't work, you're not going to get ahead. And so you have to control and discipline and humble and deny yourself. You have to put aside what you want and do what you need to do, what you have to do. If you have cattle, even if it's bad weather, you get up and you go take care of them. It's putting yourself aside to get the job done. And so there's always an external, it's objective. It's objective reasoning. It's deductive reasoning. In other words, you're reasoning from something external to you. It's not subjective reasoning, which is inductive reasoning. You're reasoning from yourself, what can I get out of this for me, and bringing that out into the environment to guarantee you get what you want. And that was all that happened in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. That's what took place, was the paradigm change. They call it a shift. They call it a shift because they don't really want to recognize the patriarchal paradigm. This whole thing rejects God, and therefore, if there's no God, then where did God come from? It came from the parent. The child obeyed the parent. The parent then became an autocrat to the child. The child then looks to something greater than the parent, and he has his patriarchal structure, and so he creates God. It's a reverse. It's a rejection of actually what God has given him. That's using reasoning, which God gave us, in defiance to God. That's what happened in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Now, that's the foundation. Now, what happened with Trump is that he didn't understand the French Revolution. I happen to, first of all, to understand all this stuff, it's in the Word. It's there. you know, through covetousness, they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Half a verse, and God sums it all up. Six verses, Genesis 3, 1 through 6, explains it all. Everything is right there. The whole process. Yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree in the garden. That's a neuro-linguistic sentence structure, an embedded statement in a question, one of the most powerful tools in hypnosis. Right there in the scriptures. And what it does is, it's a structure, like, I wonder whether you know where he is, that it's a statement with a question. I'm just talking to myself, but I make a statement, you know where he is. Well, I didn't ask you to look at your knee, but you can actually feel your knee. And so by that sentence structure, it's going to bring forward to the surface what she would not have brought forward, the desire to touch. And so her answer carried with it her lust. And then because that's now present, if you remove the fear of God, oh, you won't die. Classroom, oh, nobody's going to be held accountable. We don't want any judgment in here. We don't want anybody condemning somebody. We don't want to be, nobody will be cast out. You can share whatever you want. The very same structure that Satan did with the woman in the garden. Same structure. Let's be positive, not negative. Let's let our flesh rule without the Father being present. It's the same thing. And so the world system is built there. And it's built on this natural part of us. It's called dopamine. We have a chemical. They call it a neurotransmitter. It's a chemical that our body naturally produces in all the nerves that deal with pleasure. And so you have a nerve ending, you touch something, you hear something, you smell something, and that nerve that's associated with pleasure sends an impulse up to a gap between it and the next nerve. And a chemical is released from the first nerve ending. It's called dopamine, and it goes through this what's called a synaptic gap, very small gap, and then it hits a receptor on the next nerve, and then electrical impulse sends it up. But this dopamine, all habitual drugs are tied to it. It's a chemical of pleasure. And the drugs, what they do is they imitate it. They prevent its reuptake, which means it stays in that little gap longer, and so it gives more pleasure longer, and it stimulates it, its release. And so once you have an artificial source of this dopamine, then the body that produces, the nerve ending that produces it, shuts down. It's like you got too many cars out there, so the plant shuts down. And then when that runs out, in that synaptic gap, then your factory has to start up again. That's why you get the shakes. That's why a person, you know, becomes anxious, because he's looking for the fix to get back to the dopamine. And of course, you have dendrites in your brain, and there's a portion of the brain that directly ties to the dopamine. And God gave it to us that we would enjoy his creation, not that we would worship it. See, and that's the problem with the desire to touch. She desired, and Adam followed her, because God said it's not good that man be alone. I know I'm all over the place here on this. But God said it's not good that man be alone. And the reason for that is unlike God, who's pure and holy, there's only fellowship with God. You realize that? There's only fellowship. Fellowship is discussion, not dialogue. See, when God created Adam, two parts, the flesh, from the dust of the ground, and the breath of life. The one is dialogue. The other is discussion. All that's of the world is dialogue. What is of God is discussion. And so Adam could not use dialogue with God, because he would be equal. In dialogue, you're equal. And the first commandment's broken. You can only have a discussion. Hey, Dad, you know, how does this work? What does it mean to die? You know, those are legitimate questions to ask, but Dad, God has the final say. And so they could dialogue, the woman. Now, God created the woman because that's the dialogue realm. Now, discussion is there as well, because God would set the standard. But, and then the husband over the wife, because the wife is the weaker vessel. She's the dialogue. She's the relationship-oriented. Men are the position, the discussion-oriented. And if you listen to the typical conversation between men and women, you will see that. Women will tend to go to dialogue. Men will tend to go to discussion. How many points did the deer have on it, on his horn? The women will, oh, I like this color. It's relationship, and you need both. And so Adam had anxiety. It's not good that man be alone. And God brought all the animals, but they were stimulus response. They weren't this dialogue structure. And so God created the woman, and so Adam and Eve could have dialogue and discussion with the fruit that God has said they could eat of. But when the woman took that dialogue, which was in all the realm that was okay, over to where she was not to, where she had no right to become God, because in dialogue, you're God. Now, the child can be God over the toys in the room that you've given them. They can move them to this side of the room, that side of the room. They can move them around, whatever they want to do with them. They're in essence God. They're in control of them. But if they go into your room and they act like they're God over your stuff, now we got a problem. You understand what happened? It was the difference between discussion and dialogue. There's a place for dialogue. There's a place for dopamine, because dialogue and dopamine go hand in hand. Doing right and not wrong is discussion. They go hand in hand. So the Father's authority is based on discussion. If you're truly walking in the Lord, pure, new creature, it's all discussion. You die to yourself daily. You pick up your cross, which means you face the rejection of everybody else. You don't put yourself on the cross. Your friends put you on the cross because you say too much, quote unquote, because you keep going to discussion instead of dialogue. And so God resolved this tension within man with the woman. And that's why Adam, he abdicated. He abdicated to resolve this anxiety, this angst. And so he just simply abdicated for the sake of relationship with a woman, not fellowship with God. Because the fellowship is discussion oriented. Relationship is feelings or dialogue related. Now, what Trump does not understand is that he has this patriarchal structure he was raised up in, but he assumes everybody has it. Now, when it comes to right and wrong behavior, if you have the discussion and dialogue structure within you, when you do what's wrong, say you eat the food that you're not supposed to, and then you start thinking in discussion mode, you say, oh, I shouldn't have had that. Now you have a guilty conscience. And that reinforces the Father's authority. And that's the problem, because the guilty conscience sustains the Father's authority in society. You're out there by yourself. If you still have that discussion within you of right and wrong, when you're around people who are dialoguing, countering to what your parents said, and you join with them because you get into dialogue, and then the discussion kicks in. Now you have a guilty conscience. And so you reinforce the father's structure in society. You tell other people what they're doing is wrong. Now, the dad's not there. You're there. But you have the father's voice in you now being spoken through you to whoever is out there. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. See, and so therefore, it's expressed to others, not just kept to yourself. This was the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech. But if you want a culture where there's, you can disobey the father without having a guilty conscience, you got to get rid of discussion. Ever been in a room? Let's be positive, not negative. They might use the word discussion, but it's not. It's subtle. Because the moment you make right and wrong subject through dialogue, right and wrong behavior subject to dialogue, you might have a discussion, but it's a result of the dialogue. It's a result of justifying the flesh. And so for the socialist, you have to move everything over to dialogue, remove the discussion. Don't be so negative. Don't be so divisive. Don't be so prejudiced. And then you intimidate the other person, and you do it in a group. It's easier for them to abdicate, because we all have this desire for approval from others. That's why you have to pick up your cross. You have to get rid of that. And then you follow the Lord, doing the Father's will. And so that's a patriarchal paradigm. And so the Marxist socialists, what they realized was, if we create an environment which is just pure dialogue, now if you come in, all of a sudden you're going to sense discernment tells you something's wrong. doesn't tell you exactly what it is. It says something's wrong here, and it's because the language change. Because your structure is discussion, and if you hold a discussion eventually, if you don't convert to the dialogue when it comes to right and wrong, then you're going to find you go silent first, like, well, let me try and figure this out. Well, you're silent. And so everybody else in the room is going the direction of dialogue, and nobody's stopping them because you're silent, because you're trying to figure it out. And then if you finally do and you say, well, you know what, we can't do this, this is wrong, then they're going to censor you. And then if you continue, they're going to cast you out. See, it's the same structure for the patriarch as is for the heresiarch, because if you disobey the father, you're going to be judged, condemned, and cast out. So the same thing with the dialogue environment. If it's pure dialogue, and we don't want cannot, must not, thou shalt not, it is written, thus saith the Lord, in the room, then anybody who brings that in, you have to silence them, censor them, and kick them out, cast them out. It's one or the other. But it's on one side is discussion with God. On the other side is dialogue with man. And individually under God, we have both. There's a right time for dialogue, and there's a right time for discussion. And there's no confusion with God. With man, there is. And that was the intent. It's called cognitive dissonance, where you're caught between your belief and your behavior, and you have to choose the two. In a room full of dialogue, you are pressured to go with a group because what you want is going down the street with them. And if you want what you want, you have to put that aside. You have to put discussion aside and go with the dialogue. See, Trump with his show, The Apprentice, didn't understand it. He didn't understand that there are two levels of this dialogue. There's a level of still recognizing a father's authority, and that's pretty much where he's at, because there's a lot of dialogue going in his life in the issues of behavior. And there are those who've gone all the way over to dialogue where there's no guilty conscience. Because in dialogue, pure dialogue, there's no father's authority. If you remove the discussion and it's just dialogue, there's no father's authority. There's no guilty conscience. And so you think, well, okay, I'll present enough information and facts and these people, you know, they'll get a guilty conscience and it'll come over my way. They'll see it. No. You know, we're guilty of carrying these boxes of facts around with us, thinking that, oh, we just give them enough information, they'll see it. No, they have no guilty conscience. And you say, well, I hope you leave and have a guilty conscience tonight because of what you're doing. No, they're going to sleep peaceful at night because they have no guilty conscience. If you live in a world of dialogue, and that's psychology, you have no guilty conscience for disobeying the Father. See, the more you go that direction, and this was Kurt Lewin, the group dynamics, force field analysis, unfreezing, moving, and refreezing you. And so what happened, that was the French Revolution. We had the recognition of the Bill of Rights. They had the Bill of Rights. We had the Bill of Rights, which limited the power of government so the father in the home could train his children up in the admonition of the Lord. So it preserved discussion. In other words, dad has a final say. And so you have freedom of speech. You have freedom of religion. You have the right to bear arms. All of that is for the father to train his children up. Now, you have all these different fathers. It's just you don't shoot one another. There's limits and measures to what you can and cannot do. And so the Bill of Rights was set up to protect the home. That's what that was all about. The original Bill of Rights was to protect this patriarchal structure in the individual's life. But the French Revolution was totally different. It was to get rid of the father's authority, get rid of the king. They had to restructure the parishes because they found the sheriff is the most powerful office on the face of the earth. And if a sheriff is raised in his parish, he's going to have a conscience that developed from that culture, and he's going to defend that culture from another county or parish that has a different culture. And so you have the father's authority retained through the sheriff in the community. Well, we've resolved that here because now we just take the sheriffs and meet them across. They all meet across the country and around the nation and maybe even around the world. And for the sake of getting along with one another, relationship, you go to dialogue and you've lost your conscience of that community. And so it neuters the sheriff. Well, they just restructured the parishes, so there was no recognition. This is what our leaders have done with the military. They've restructured the military, so there is no old group of people you get together and say, you know, we need to go back. It's all to destabilize and move everything to dialogue, the consensus, the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus outcome. Now, I met an aide that of President Reagan. And he was telling me when Reagan went into office, well, they were in San Diego at the convention. He went out to the airport to pick up three guys. And he said on the way back, they were talking about a whole new way of thinking. He never even thought of this. And they mentioned CFR. And he says, well, what's CFR? And they said, well, it's just a bunch of us get together once in a while and discuss things. Oh, okay. Well, he said within a matter of a few months, all Reagan's aides were removed and these CFR people were in place. See, all the discussion, the old guard was removed and the dialogue group came in. And so they infiltrated. Well, Trump didn't understand that all those trials against all his representatives was the effort to undo the effect of the sheriffs and the other people who represented the structure, the patriarchal structure under the king in France. That was simply to destroy his infrastructure so they could put their dialogue-based people in place. And then when Nancy Pelosi had the president's speech, they met prior in a hall. And that was the famous tennis court oath of the French Revolution. I took a class on the French Revolution from a man who'd earned his doctor's degree on the French Revolution. And so what's happened in Washington, January 6th was simply the storming of the Bastille. It was the Reichstag of Germany. What happened when the Reichstag was burnt? See, there was an attack. And so it was a justification of these people worship the events of the French Revolution. It's their Bible. And they will do everything possible to kill the patriarchal paradigm. They will destroy the nation because here's what's driving it. They say, well, you know, we want equality. No, they want the money. It's children. See, a child without a guilty conscience. This is Columbine. See, it got out of hand. It got physical. It got out. This is what's going on in the classroom. I talk about Bloom's taxonomy. There's no father's authority structure in Bloom's taxonomy. It's gone. It's all dialogue. It's the children ruling. And the facilitators, the teachers, are simply children in adult bodies who have abdicated or usurped the authority of the parents that God created, because God created the husband and the wife, not the government, but God. And those children are those parents' children. Now, the father can be wrong, and the children will say, well, my dad's wrong, but the right-wrong structure is there. But if you go to dialogue in that classroom, the father's authority is gone. There is no guilty conscience. And you wonder, this happened in the 50s. You wonder what happened to this nation? You wonder why we are where we are today? Well, this is the same thing happening in government. It's simply following the principles of Genesis 3, 1 through 6. It's following the events that happened in the French Revolution, where there is no guilty conscience for getting rid of the father. There's no guilty conscience of getting rid of the unborn, getting rid of the elderly. This has happened to the medical profession. I'm just doing my job. And I'd say, wait a minute. I think we fought a war and millions died over a nation who said, we're just doing our job. I'm just doing what I have to do. Who would say that? Somebody without a guilty conscience. Somebody who is not capable of carrying on an honest discussion. See, so this is where we're going. And this is why the left is so upset and terrified, because they have access to the taxes. That's like the child having access to the parents' money. They got the parents' credit card. They don't care about the parent other than the parent still alive and providing them income so they can play with their toys, their fancy houses, their fancy cars, their fancy boats, their fancy trips, and their fancy women. And they will do everything possible. It's international. Their loyalty is not to the nation. Their loyalty is to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and they have no guilty conscience. Trump doesn't understand that. He thinks if we can just come back to the facts, that they will get it. They will not. They will do whatever it takes to keep access to that credit card. So I hope I've helped clarify where this is going. And I've said this in meetings. It is, and Ben Franklin said it, of all people. He said, it is God who raises up nations. He says, as long as I've lived, I've come to realize it is God who raises up nations and it is he who brings them down. And I add, he looks at the heart of the people. They determine what to do. And I look at all these conservatives out there fighting for this nation, but they don't bring their audience to the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't deal with the issue of righteousness. That was the issue in early America. You want to restore America, you go to the issue of righteousness before a holy and pure and righteous God. If you don't, you're a liar. You're a deceiver. And God will judge you for your lies and your deceit. That's what's going on. If you don't start with the word of God. Now, there are those who will mention, but they don't bring you to the word of God itself. So this is where we are. God is looking at your heart, to determine what to do with a nation. Is it worth saving? I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart and not to lean to your own understanding, and in all your ways to acknowledge Him and let Him be the one who directs your path.